This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Colleen Brown. Colleen is a leader of, she serves on the board of directors of a publicly traded company. She's had a great leadership career. She speaks a lot on leadership. I'm going to talk to Colleen today. Colleen, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Oh, thanks, Scott. I'd be happy to. I'm the former CEO of Fisher Communications based in Seattle, publicly traded, and likely the first woman that came up through the rank and file to run a publicly traded broadcasting company. Let's see, I've served on over a dozen corporate boards and have been fortunate enough to receive recognition for my work, which includes selection as a U.S. Top 100 Director and Director of the Year by the National Association of Corporate Directors. In addition, some of you may know Mario Gabelli, a large investor and hedge fund manager, as CEO of Fisher. Mario chose me, or GAMCO Investments selected me, as the first woman inducted into their Management Hall of Fame for the creation of outstanding shareholder value. And while that recognition and all of this recognition is certainly nice, what to me is the most meaningful is that this work is voted on by my peers. That's what means a lot to me. So my current board service includes TrueBlue Inc. and Big Five Sporting Goods. If you're on the West Coast, Big Five is a name brand. I'm currently a proposed director for the TEGNA board, but probably by the time this airs, that decision will have been made. I began my career in accounting and technology at the television station level and went on to run a number of big market stations and have served in the C-suite of Gannett Broadcasting, which is now TEGNA, the C-suite of Belo, which is now TEGNA, and the president of broadcasting at Lee Enterprises. I've served on technology startups throughout my career.
So a magnificent, right, magnificent career. And let me ask you a question. How much of the world today versus, 20 years ago involves private equity-funded stuff, private equity-funded businesses and so forth? Is that a bigger part of what you see today, and what do you see there?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a roll-up in public companies. So you're seeing fewer public companies today, and yet with the amount of money that is available, you're seeing much more private equity-backed, to some degree even venture-backed companies today. In addition, with the new SPAC startup, structure, if you will, you're seeing a lot more opportunities to go public in a different way. So that number, the public experience of companies being traded might grow here as SPACs become more popular.
Fabulous. Thank you. And talk about leadership. Our producer is a young woman leader, brilliant young person. What advice do you give to emerging leaders about leadership?
That's a really good question, and good for her. The U.S. Census tells us that half the population is female, and 40% of it is people of color. So I guess in my world, and since your producer is in the broadcast industry or in the media industry, I would encourage her to think about this. Male voices dominate the media, with 70% of the people seen, quoted, and heard in the news. And about 22% of the top editors are women. And these stats suggest news tend to be a little more male-centric, well, maybe a lot more male-centric, and that women, as a result, are denied the legitimacy, the authority, and even the status that often comes with, inclusion in news and in the American public for storytelling. And the perspective might be slightly skewed. So my encouragement to her is fight the good fight, bring in more women, bring in more people of color so that we can balance this up. And most importantly, and I'm sure this is not the case for her, but 41% of the women in media have reported sexual harassment in the workplace. But that's by far the highest number of white collar industries. And unfortunately, I didn't even know this. I just thought this is the way business was, that sexual harassment is unusually rampant in the media industry. And media is a very relationship-driven industry. where, you know, the rewards comes in terms of money and, you know, the visibility and influence. And they're controlled by a few gatekeepers, mostly all male. So I really encourage her to continue to pursue upward growth and be inclusive and support the women and the minorities around you to grow and gain positions in the industry.
And talk for a moment, Kellyne, about your experience in breaking through all this, because you did so at a time when it was really, there was really even a smaller number of women in leadership. Now, notwithstanding the fact that 50% of all people are women, notwithstanding the fact that we should have so many more female leaders. How did you break through? And tell us a bit about, you know, some of the struggles and pivots and stories of breaking through.
Yeah. When I first started in the business, I was general manager of a CVS affiliate, and I walked into at the Waldorf Astoria in New York, the annual CVS general manager's meeting. It was called the affiliate meeting. And I literally had that moment where the hair on the back of your head, you know, just stood. I thought I had walked into like the men's restroom. I mean, I was freaked out. I had walked into a black tie event and there wasn't a woman in there. And there were probably 200 people there. And they were all in tuxedos. And I could not have felt more out of place. I will say, Tony Malera, head of CVS affiliate at the time, literally walked over to me, greeted me, just put his arm around me and said, come on in, I've got people you need to meet. And his effort in including me and finding a way to make me successful made all the difference in the world. So there have been people along the way that were my Tony Maleras. They said, how can I help you be successful? And that made all the difference in navigating some of these tricky things throughout, you know, my career. The thing I'd recommend most is the whole thing about leadership is not only resilience and persistence and perseverance, but it's not taking yourself too seriously and being able to laugh at yourself. I think women tend to have to be 100% prepared to take on something. And I learned early on that wasn't how the guys fought. And so putting your hand up to take on something when you might feel only 60% prepared is probably how the guys are thinking of that next opportunity. So raise your hand, even though you think it might be early or you haven't checked all the boxes. But believe me, the guys aren't 100% prepared either. So that's one way to start getting attention and start moving forward in the company.
And there's constant data on this, how sort of men step into the roles even when they're ill-prepared for them and pretend for a while and try and figure them out. And it's not that you're telling people that they should pretend, et cetera, but realize there's going to be a lot of learning as you evolve and grow. And it's okay to step into that role knowing you're not 100% prepared for it right now, but you'll get there and you'll do great.
Yeah,
and not
exactly.
Be scared to do so.
Right. Now, there's a lot of pressure once you get that position because everybody thinks you're going to be perfect. And being able to understand failure and not be a perfectionist is something that women have to learn.
And talk for a moment about 2021. You're still doing a tremendous amount of interesting things, magnificent career. What are you most excited about this year?
Wow, most excited this year. I guess I would say, I need to preface this. I'm not Hispanic, but I grew up in a Hispanic family. Witnessing firsthand the challenges my siblings experienced. There were 12 of us, half Hispanic, half Anglo. But I am a woman, and I've navigated these hurdles in media and business, you know, for the last four decades. So I guess what I'm most excited about is the work I've been doing in investing and advising in women and minority-owned startups and women and minorities within the television and broadcasting business. Helping them integrate into legacy companies and helping them communicate or coordinate their ideas to be accepted into legacy companies. One example, last year, one of my companies, female-led, won the blockchain award for content supply management from Walmart. We celebrated. I couldn't have been more proud of her and her work. I get excited about that.
Magnificent. Colleen, I want to thank you for joining us today. How can people learn more about you, or if they want to follow you, learn more about you? How do people learn more about Colleen Brown?
Well, easily on LinkedIn, Colleen Bird Now Brown. There's so many Colleen Browns, I had to put my middle name in there, or my maiden name in there, because it's so unusual. There's only one of me. That's the easiest way. Obviously, following my board work and following the work we're trying to get done in, DEI and helping, companies that check all the boxes and should be successful, but aren't creating shareholder value. I'm going to be spending my time thinking through that next year and helping understand why great companies fail.
Magnificent. Colleen, I want to thank you for joining the Becker Business Podcast today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.